This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, June 23rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Prop 12 among AFBF's farm bill issues. CFAA likes EPA blending rules and a specialty crop bill. As policy watchers await a draft farm bill from the Senate Agriculture Committee, lawmakers also need to focus on passing year-round E15, weighing in on California's Proposition 12, and getting more economic aid into the hands of crop growers. That's the word of American Farm Bureau Federation's John Newton. Newton said it's going to be critically important for Congress to pass the legislation allowing year-round sales of higher ethanol blends known as E15 and provide additional federal funds to farmers hurt by lower crop values, surging production costs, and a recent lag in demand. Newton is Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis at American Farm Bureau, speaking to AgriPulse. Congress also needs to deal with a patchwork of state livestock welfare laws, such as Proposition 12, Newton says. The Supreme Court in 2023 ruled that any issues stemming from the regulations can only be addressed by the legislative branch, a need echoed by both the former Biden administration and current Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, Newton added. Such issues are key priorities for American Farm Bureau, the country's largest farm group, regardless of if they end up in the new farm bill, according to Newton. They're farm bill related, and we need all of those things to happen in this Congress, Newton says. The Trump administration's record-high biofuel blending rules are a clear economic win for rural America, says Clean Fuels Alliance America CEO Donnell Rehagen. In a major turnaround from prior quotas, EPA is purposely building a domestic market for U.S. farmers, Rehagen writes in an online post. The agricultural economy is already responding to the signal, he said. EPA expects biomass-based diesel production from soybean oil to nearly double from about 1.3 billion gallons in 2025 to more than 2.5 billion gallons next year. It also sees a boost in the use of other crop oils, especially canola and co-products of crop like distiller's corn oil, according to the CFAA chief. Production of U.S. biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel is booming, and if USDA estimates are right, domestic output of the biofuels would provide a value-added market for half of this year's available domestic soybean oil, he said. The growth is welcome news after U.S. agriculture lost $14.9 billion in annualized sales to China due to tariffs from March 2025 to February 2026, that according to North Dakota State University study. Soybean farmers absorbed almost half of those losses, or $6.8 billion, with top soy growing states like Iowa, Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, and Minnesota suffering the biggest losses, that according to researchers. The Agriculture Department has detected 3 new cases of New World screwworm in Texas. That brings the overall U.S. case count to 15. It's according to the latest data from the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. A new case of the pest in sheep was found in Crockett County this weekend, along with 2 cases of cattle in Edwards County. The rest of the story is that USDA has declared 3 of the previous cases to be inactive, that according to the aphis tracker. Those include a case in a New Mexico dog and 2 cases in cattle in Edwards and Zalva counties. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number 2 milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Two Senate Ag Committee Democrats plan to propose legislation today to standardize a framework for future Agriculture Department rollouts of specialty crop disaster assistance. Senator Ben Ray Luan of New Mexico and Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan prepared to introduce the Cultivating Horticultural Innovation in Local Economies Act, which would set rules for USDA to follow when providing assistance to specialty crop growers. It directs USDA to base payments on producers' sales in the year before a disaster. Additionally, the bill proposes $5 billion in assistance to specialty crop producers for fiscal year 2027. Multiple iterations of aid programs with different requirements over the last decade have led specialty crop groups to push for a standardized structure based on a producer's prior year sales. The farm bill that passed through the House earlier this year includes such language. The Corn Refiners Association has supported adoption of regenerative ag practices across more than 8.5 million acres in North America. Regenerative ag, the association says, quote, is a systems-based approach that seeks to sequester carbon in the soil to improve soil health, biodiversity, water quality, and air quality, all while ensuring the long-term viability of agriculture production. The definition aligns with, quote, many in the agriculture industry and field to market, a CRA press release out today says. CRA says the area covered by regen ag practices is equivalent to more than 10 million football fields. The estimate comes from a member survey and mostly covers the U.S., where USDA estimates farmers planted about 95 million acres of corn this season. The Trump administration has touted regenerative agriculture as a way for farmers to reduce inputs without sacrificing yield. One of the largest pest control companies in the U.S. has agreed to stop enforcing non-compete agreements against more than 18,000 workers nationwide. The Federal Trade Commission had alleged that Rollins Incorporated's non-compete agreement generally prohibited its former employees from working in the pest control industry for 2 years after leaving Rollins. In addition, those agreements, quote, prohibited employees from working in pest control within a predetermined distance, typically within a 75-mile radius from one of Rollins' more than 700 locations in the U.S., according to the FTC complaint. The final consent order, quote, also imposes other conditions, including requiring Rollins to provide notice to current and former employees that they are no longer subject to a non-compete agreement and that they can compete against Rollins, including by starting their own business. The Senate Appropriations Committee has postponed a markup of the agriculture and FDA appropriations bill that had been scheduled for this Thursday. The committee said markups on that bill, as well as bills to fund the Veterans Affairs and Commerce Departments and the legislative branch, would be rescheduled. Committee member Mitch McConnell of Kentucky will not be back for votes this week. He's recovering following hospitalization on June 14th. Here's today's final word. Thanks to bold expansions such as this, the United States can now process 3 out of every 5 rows of soybeans grown across our fields, keeping more value right here where it belongs. The translation, less reliance on China. That's the word of National Oilseed Processors Association President and CEO Devin Mogler at the opening of Incabrasa Industries' new $250 million soybean crushing plant in rural Illinois. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, June 23rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Nally.